Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Father, we come before you this morning, and we just thank you for being what we need in the time that we need it. Lord, there is no one else worthy. And Lord, as we enter into this season where the world turns its attention to you and Christmas, and whether they know it or not, God, we're celebrating you and all that you did. I pray that each and every one of us, our hearts would be so in tune with you to give you the praise and honor and glory that is due, that this season wouldn't be about anything other than that. God, we praise you, we thank you, and we love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we thank our worship team for leading us so well today? Amen. You guys can be seated. Well, once again, welcome to City Hope. My name's Bobby. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I would love that chance. Thank you so much for being here. We'd love to connect with you. If this is your first time or one of your first times and you haven't connected, I promise we're not pushy, all right? We just want to connect. We got a free gift for you, and we're excited about all the Lord's doing. It's all Christmas. Anybody know how many days until Christmas? 18 days. That's really good. Good job. 18 days till Christmas. The music is going full, right? It's merry and it's bright. But by the 40th time you hear Michael Bublé or Mariah Carey, right? It's just like, come on. Like, we get it. Did you know, it's not just that the songs are overplayed, right? It's not just that. Did you guys realize how many Christmas songs lie to us? Like, some of these Christmas songs that we hear, there's, like, the most wonderful time of year, right? Have you ever been to Walmart the week before Christmas? Like, come on. The most wonderful time? All is calm and all is bright. There's no chance whoever wrote that had kids. Like, there's just no chance. I don't know. But we lie to ourselves, too, right? We say, I know in my house, we say, well, we're just going to keep it simple this year, right? That is financial fiction right there. It is not true. So Jeff, our host, man, he does such a good job, and he mentioned this, but I want to encourage you to do something. Next Sunday, we want to wear your best, favorite, ugliest, amazing Christmas outfit that you have, all right? So if it's a hat, if it's a sweater, if it's a onesie, if it's a whatever you want, next Sunday, wear it to church. We're giving away prizes, all right? The best, the most creative. And so it is. We're going to have a lot of fun because I think as we sat down and started thinking through this and praying through Christmas, I think that all year long we're so bombarded with news and bad news and gloom and doom and just, I think we need to get the joy back in Christmas. I think we need to get, be reminded why we're able to have joy no matter what we're walking through. And I just think sometimes it's good to laugh, right? Sometimes it's good to have fun. And I say this a lot, church wasn't meant to be endured. It's meant to be enjoyed. Right? And so we're going to have some joy. I know one of the things I do in my house, guys, you can steal this. If I get in the doghouse with my wife for whatever reason it is, and she's mad at me, and so I stop, like, I stop justifying why I did what I did, or I stop apologizing, and I just turn my attention to try to make her laugh, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't, but maybe that's what we need today. Maybe you just need a little bit of joy back in your life, and that's what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks. We're going to talk about unwrapping joy. How do I get joy back into my everyday life? What is the Christmas story teaching me about getting joy and receiving joy and giving joy and all of that fun stuff? So we're going to jump right into Luke chapter 1 today. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go to Luke chapter number 1. And we're going to look through the beginning of the story here with a couple of folks that maybe when it comes to the Christmas story, maybe we don't read a lot about them. So let me ask you to stand to your feet and honor the reading of God's word. And we'll read through Luke chapter 1, and we'll start reading here in verse number 5. The Bible says this: in the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest of Abijah's division named Zechariah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame according to all the commands and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth could not conceive, and both of them were well along in years. That was a really nice way to say they're old. Verse 8, when his division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, it happened that he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. An angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and overcome with fear. Verse 13, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. Verse 16, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous to make ready for the Lord a prepared table. Would you pray with me? Father, bless the reading of your word. Use it today to speak directly to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Today, we're going to look at unwrapping joy through the promises of God. How do we unwrap joy in our life through the promises of God? Now, I'm going to give you the big takeaway right here. I want you to write this down. I want you to take a picture. I want you to remember this. And we're going to keep this in mind as we walk through today. Joy doesn't begin when the promise is fulfilled. Joy begins the moment you trust the promise. Joy doesn't begin when the promise is fulfilled. Joy begins the moment you trust the promise. Now let's start back at the top of this. Zechariah and Elizabeth, husband and wife. The Bible says they were faithful, and they were obedient, but they were childless. They were faithful, they were obedient, but yet they were childless. Now in the culture during this time, let me help you understand what barrenness means. Barrenness meant shame during this time. If you could not have a child, there was shame. There was social isolation. People thought something was wrong with you. People thought, I don't know if we need to be hanging out with them. There was also some internal questions. Man, what did we do wrong? Does God still love us? I mean, how come we can't have a child? And so just think about the emotions that Zechariah and Elizabeth were living right here, they were living with. But the Bible says very specifically that they were blameless before God. So they didn't have any children, but they were blameless before God. Now, here's some tension for you and I. I think there's some tension here, but there's also a little bit of freedom here because they were faithful, but they were still waiting. Understand what's going on here. They loved God, but they still carried disappointment. And for some reason, we get in our mind, like, if I'm living for God and I'm doing all the things, then I'm going to be blessed and it's going to be perfect and everything's going to be right. But there's this tension because you can be faithful and still be waiting on God. You can love God deeply and still carry disappointment. And maybe this morning that's where you find yourself. You find yourself, man, I'm striving to love God, but there's not a lot of joy. I'm disappointed. I'm waiting for God to do something. But I want you to notice something. Even though they were waiting, even though the Bible says they were blameless, they did not quit on God. They did not quit serving. Watch this. Watch what they did. Look at verse 8 here. This is a big deal. When his division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God. Now, this is not just some throwaway detail. Understand what's going on here, okay? Israel had 24 priestly divisions, okay? What would happen is each division would serve in the temple 1 week twice a year. So kind of think about it a little bit like the army reserves, right? These are the priest reserves. 1 week, twice a year, they would go to the temple. So Zechariah, he was not a full-time priest. As a matter of fact, no one would have probably blamed him for not showing up. Because all the hard thing, I mean, he stayed faithful for so long to God, but God didn't give him a child. Everyone probably would have been like, yeah, we understand why he didn't come. We understand why he's not here. No one would have blamed him if he decided just to stay home, but he didn't quit on God. He remained faithful in his service to God. He showed up when it was his division's turn to go and do their priestly duties. He decided to show up. And sometimes the reason we don't have any joy in our lives is because we're too focused on us. We're too focused on what's going on and my life and my hurt and everything going on. Zechariah loved God. He carried hurt, but he still served others. Think about that. He loved God deeply. He carried some hurt, some disappointment, some frustration, but he still showed up to serve God. Let me just tell you this morning, that serving others is always a part of the joy equation. Serving others is always going to be part of the joy equation. If you don't have any joy, check your service level. Check and see if there's something missing there if you're not serving other people. I read this quote this week. Joy doesn't come from getting everything we want. It comes from giving God everything we have. It doesn't come from getting everything I want. The quickest way for me to lose my joy is to live for myself. The quickest way for me to not have any joy in my life is to only think about me. So here's Zechariah carrying joy, or carrying disappointment. He shows up in service to God. Now look at this. As he serves God, where God called him, look what happens in verse 9. It happened that he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. Now, because he stayed faithful to the Lord, because he showed up, Zechariah is chosen to burn incense. Again, not a small thing. This is not a small deal, all right? This was the most sacred duty for the priests. Every priest wanted to do this right in front of the Holy of Holies. Most priests never got to do this at all, ever. And so Zechariah shows up, he obeys God, and then God does something really good. God allows him, he gets chosen to go in and do what only he could do. Here's the thing, church. Any of us can obey when life is going well. Any of us can obey. Sometimes the holiest thing you can do is show up. Sometimes the best thing for you to do for your family, for those around you, is to keep showing up. Again, he could have stayed home. He could have stayed home and disappointed. But he walked into the temple, he did what he was supposed to do, he showed up, and then look what happens. He gets chosen to do something that very few people get chosen to do, and now watch, verse 11. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, overcome with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John." He walked into the temple. Don't miss this. He walked into the temple in obedience, and he walked out with a promise. He showed up like he was supposed to do, and he walks out with a promise of God. He says, "Your prayers have been answered. Your wife is going to have a son." What a remarkable experience. All because he decided to keep showing up. All because he decided to stay faithful. But then verse 14 here, and this is where we're going to park for just a minute. Look what the angel tells him. He says, "There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth." So this is really good. Because the angel says, for you, there's going to be joy and delight for you. Now let's break this down a little bit here, okay? Because I want you to really get what's going on here. When he says the word joy, the Greek word, the original language that was written here is the word hara. All right, you got to say it like you got something stuck in your throat. Hara, all right? Y'all should have heard me practicing that at my Kentucky. Hara, I was struggling, all right? But hara, it describes a deep abiding joy that does not depend on circumstances. That's the kind of joy that the Bible's talking about right here, this hara kind of joy. It's a deep, personal, abiding joy that is not dependent upon circumstances. You see this over 59 times in the New Testament. We're going to see it again in Luke chapter 2 in the next couple of weeks, where the angel says to the Lord, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all the people." Now, here's why this matters. Here's why this is such a big deal here in Luke chapter 1. Elizabeth and Zechariah, their joy isn't just relief of that they're going to conceive a child. Their joy is founded in the promise that God told them that was going to happen. You see, it's not about that they were, before the proof, before the pregnancy, the angel didn't give them a baby and then say, have joy. He gave them a promise. He gave them a promise, and the promise is the thing that carried the joy in their lives. And so Zechariah and Elizabeth had this personal, abiding joy in their life. Now, let's go back to the big takeaway that I started with this morning. Joy doesn't begin when the promise is fulfilled. Joy begins the moment you trust the promise. So Zechariah is now in the temple with the angel, and the angel says, hey, you're going to have joy, you're going to have a baby, and we promise you it's going to be good. So the angel says, you're going to have hurrah, you're going to have deep personal joy. But look at the second part of that verse. He says, you're going to have joy, and then he says, and many will rejoice at his birth. So the joy that you and your family have is one thing, and then many are going to rejoice at his birth. Now, the Greek word here for rejoice or joy is euphrosune. That's a fun one to say. Euphrosune. It means an outward, visible, shared celebration. So it is joy that can that can be felt, that can be heard by others. Do you know anybody in your life that when they walk into the room, they just have joy written all over them? They just smile, they're happy, they're just fun people to be around. I hope you guys know somebody like that. They bring joy. Luke says, you are going to have hara, this deep personal joy, and everybody else is going to have euphrosune, an outward celebratory joy. And so the miracle that they were going to experience, the promise that God was giving them, was going to be a public thing. Their joy was going to be spread. Their testimony was going to build faith in others. Today, church, listen, joy is not meant to be private. It's not meant to just be only about you and what's going on in your life. When God acts, the circle of joy widens. I want you to think about this. When God does a miracle, when God fulfills or gives you a promise in your life, your joy should become a message to others. It should become something, hey, let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you how God showed up. Let me just explain to you all the goodness of the Lord. Your story, church, becomes someone else's hope, someone else's courage, someone else's reason to believe again. Maybe the reason that we don't see a lot of joy is because we don't share a lot of joy. Maybe the reason that your home isn't real joyful is because you're not sharing a lot of joy. Joy grows when you trust in God's promises, not when life is perfect. Joy grows when we trust in life's purposes. Let's finish this out. And look a little bit more at this. So again, Zechariah, he's in the temple. He's doing one of the most sacred, holy things that he could be doing. The angel shows up. He's scared to death. The angel starts talking to him. And look what he says in verse 15 when he starts talking about his son, John. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. Verse 16, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Verse 17, he will go before him in the spirit of power and of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father of their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people. Listen, God wasn't just promising John to his parents. This was all a part of God's plan. This son that they were going to receive was going to do, look, he will do this. He will do this. He will go. He will say. He will act. And just like the angel proclaims specific promises over God, I want you to hear this today. Just like the angel, he proclaimed all of these specific promises of what John's going to do. Did you realize today, church, that God has already proclaimed specific promises for all the believers in his word? God has promises for you and for me right here in his word. You don't have to wait for this angelic visitation, right? You already have
promises from God's word. I want to kind of land the plane a little bit different today. I want to throw up some of these promises that I walk through, and just these are just some of the top ones that in God's word that he gives to his children. And I want you to think through these, because maybe today one of the promises that you need are right here in God's word. God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He promises us his presence. God says that all things work together for good. He promises us his purpose. He says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask. What's he promising? His guidance. Do you need some guidance today? Look at number four. My peace I give to you. He promises us his peace. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You get his spirit. You get the Holy Spirit. He who began a good work in you will carry it on. His faithfulness, when we are faithless, he is faithful. Look at this promise. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. He promises us his love. The same God who fulfilled his promises to Zechariah has fulfilled and is filling his promises to you and me. It's the same God that you and I go to today. And this Christmas season, how can you and I unwrap some joy? Joy comes from believing that what God speaks, God completes. Joy in my life comes from understanding and believing that what God speaks, God completes. If he's given me a promise, he's given a promise to all the believers. This is what he promises you and I. This is why we can have joy. Not because when we walk outside, oh man, life is great and finances are good and marriage is good and I'm good with my kids and good at work and I'm good at school. It's not because everything's good. Our joy comes from God's promises. We can unwrap joy by putting our faith and trust in Jesus. And so, church, as I close today, let me ask you a couple questions for you to just respond to right there in your seat today. If joy comes from trusting in the promises, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus? If you've never put your life in God's hands and you never said, here I am, God, I surrender. Take my life. It's yours. Doesn't mean you're never going to fail. Doesn't mean life's going to be perfect, right? They were faithful and they were still waiting. They were faithful and they still had disappointment. But they said, God, here's my life. Use it. I'll show up. I'll do whatever you need me to do. I'm here for you, God. If you never put your faith and trust in God's hands, let me tell you something. God's word says that he promises eternal life for all who believe in him. That's a promise that maybe you need today. Have you put your faith and trust in him? Joy doesn't come from fixing your life. It comes from trusting in a faithful God. Have you put your faith and trust in him? Joy begins the moment you trust the promise. Have you trusted the promise? Have you truly, not just do you go to church, not do you attend, not do you sing, not do you give, have you truly given your life to Jesus? That's where true joy starts. Maybe for some of you in here this morning, you've trusted the promise of eternity, but there's some things that you've stopped praying for because it still lives in your heart, but you've stopped praying for it. And today you need to trust God's promise that God's gonna bring it back. That it's time to bring it back to God. You stopped trusting, you stopped giving it to him, you just gave up on it. And today, the way that joy is gonna come back is the moment you trust in God's promise. Maybe you're weary today. Can I tell you that waiting does not disqualify you? Waiting on God to show up doesn't mean that he's not there. What it does, here's what I think it does. I think it positions you for joy. Because you got nowhere else to turn. You got to look at him. You got to find him. Maybe you're here this morning and God's been calling you to share your joy, but you've been silent. Have you stopped showing up? Have you stopped serving? I just think it is incredible that the Bible says that Zechariah and Elizabeth were old people wanting a child, but they kept showing up. What faithfulness to the Lord. What a great example of just showing up. And so often we get so focused on us that we stop showing up. We stop sharing. We stop doing what God's called us to do. We stop believing in the promise. And maybe today God's calling you back. Hey, let's get back to sharing joy. Let's get back. Let's start showing up. Let's serve others. Let's get our focus off of us. And let's get our focus on the promise that God's given us. I'm going to ask you right now just to bow your head and close your eyes. And we're gonna close out here in just a second. But I want to give you an opportunity to respond right now in your seat. If God's speaking to your heart, just take a moment. Just take a moment and be faithful. Be obedient to whatever it is the Lord's speaking to your heart about. If you've never truly given your heart and life to Jesus and you realize that this morning, that's the most important decision you'll ever make. You've been trying to do this on your own. You're lost. You're broken. There's no joy. Give your heart and your life to Jesus. The Bible says that if you confess and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Maybe that's you today. Here in just a moment, we're going to say amen. We're going to dismiss, and I want to give you an opportunity right now. I want to give you an invitation. You stick around after this service is over. You come grab me by the hand. Come grab one of our other pastors, one of our prayer team members, and say, hey, I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm tired of living with no joy. I need to give my life. I need to trust in the promise. If that's you, take that step today. The ball's in your court. Nobody's forcing you to do it. It's not an emotional decision. If the Holy Spirit is convicting, if he's churning in there, then you take that step today. Don't wait. It's time to trust in the promise. It's time to unwrap some joy in your heart and in your life. Maybe this morning God's speaking to your heart and you stop sharing. You stop serving. You stop showing up. You're just going through the motions. God's calling you back. Hey, believe in the promise. Trust the promise. You're waiting on God to show up and the promise to be fulfilled. But true joy comes the moment we start trusting the promise. Let's get our faith back in the right order. Serving others is always a part of the joy equation. Maybe the reason you don't have any joy right now is because you're too focused on you. Maybe you're here this morning and man, you can feel the hurt, the discouragement, the disappointment like Zechariah and Elizabeth. You're carrying it this morning and it's hard to find joy. And it's in those moments when the promises mean the most. I can't see it, I can't feel it, but I gotta trust it. And God promises me that he's not gonna leave me or forsake me. God's promising me that there's comfort in him. God promised me that there's joy in eternity. Whatever brokenness you're walking through today, church, take it to the feet of Jesus. Lean on his promises. He's good. He's worthy. Trust in those promises today. Watch how your joy changes. Father, we love you. We praise you. We give you honor. We give you glory, Lord. Who else is worthy? No one. You are holy forever. And Lord, I pray that this Christmas season, that as hard as it may be, that we would keep showing up, keep being obedient, and we would trust in your promises. Bring us joy. Even when the circumstances in front of us, the family situations, the job situations, whatever it is, God, the thing that feels like it's so big right in front of us that we can't look around it, Lord, help us to see through it and trust in your promises. That you're such a good God. You don't leave your people. You're able. Help us to stay faithful, showing up. Choose joy. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.